Good evening, church.
Good evening.
It seems like we was just having this introduction, didn't it? We can keep introducing ourselves over and over again. So this is our first Wednesday word. This is our first midweek service. Yesterday is the Wednesday word. So while on Sundays we preach the word here on our midweek service here on Thursday nights at 7 p.m., we will be teaching God's word. I will be starting today in the book of Romans, and next week Pastor Dallas will be in the book of Acts. And we will go chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the New Testament. Let us, before we get into the word, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving for your many blessings. Lord, we lift you up on high. We glorify you, O God. Lord, we pray that you reveal unto us your will and your truth. Illuminate the text today before us. Show us your way. Lord, we pray that you use this ministry, this church, and every single one of us here as your instrument to minister your word to the world, to share the gospel. We praise you now, we praise you always, for you alone are God. In Jesus' name I pray, and in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. So the book of Romans is, I guess you could say, is the pinnacle of the works and writings of Paul. Now, Paul wrote the book of Romans, it is thought, during his third missionary journey, just before going back to Jerusalem. It is also thought that Phoebe was the messenger that brought Paul's letter to the Romans, well, to Rome. And it's really beautiful here. I'm just trying to figure out where to put this microphone. Hold on. What's really beautiful here about the book of Romans is that it truly can stand on its own as a finished work that accurately details the teachings of Paul. Now, the purpose of the book of Romans has been speculated, but unlike we see in the book of, like, say, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul is not writing to exhort the church in Rome. He's not telling them what they're doing wrong. What it appears, based on the text, that what Paul is giving is a full understanding of Scripture, a full understanding of the gospel, and a full understanding of their place in Christ. Well, that sounds like something we need in the church today, amen?
Amen.
It seems like many of our churches today have lost their way.
Amen.
Now, I keep going down, I might get to preaching. So, today we're going to cover the first 17 verses of chapter 1. And so now the reason that we are doing this, split chapter 1 and 2, is because there's a clear distinction in the message between verse 17 and verse 18, and I want to spend an entire message, an entire week, just on verses 18 to 32. So today is verses 1 through 17. Verse 1, Paul, identifying the author, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, that is to mean like a slave to Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with the power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There's a lot to be unpacked there. Because we're getting the identity of Paul, who Paul is, that he is, one, he's a bondservant to God, but he's also an apostle of Christ. So now there's a kind of a twofold in that he's a servant of God and an apostle of Christ. So that apostleship is what gives him authority in this scripture. But he also is identifying who Christ is. Through his prophets, the Holy Scriptures, that's referring to the Old Testament, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, it identified who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh. He is now appealing to the human nature of Christ. Here we have what's called the hypostatic union, in that Christ is both 100% God and 100% man. And in the flesh, in the man, in the flesh, he is of the seed of David, the rightful king of Israel. And then further identifies him as the Son of God. Through him, verse 5, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Now here we're getting to, in verse 7, who he's identifying this to. So, through him we have received grace and apostleship by obedience to the faith. And it's all for him. It's all for God's glory in obedience to him and to Christ. Verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 through 7 here is Paul's greeting to the Romans. He identifies himself, he identifies Christ, and he's identifying who he's writing to, the church in Rome. I'm reminded of radio etiquette in the military, which is, you, this is me. Let me explain. So in the military, when you get on the radio, you call, you would say whom you're attempting to reach, right? So let's say, Warhawk 33. Warhawk 33, that's who you're trying to talk to, and say, let's say you're Black Sheep 32. Warhawk 33, this is Black Sheep 32, over, right? You, this is me. Well, here we got Paul going, me is who I am, is who Jesus is, this is what binds us together, to you, Rome. Beginning in verse 8, you know, sometimes we can plan to do a lot of things. I've got a lot of plans. Everyone here has a lot of plans. Many of y'all watching at home, you've got plans. Right. Well, Paul had plans for the ministry. He had planned to go to Spain. His plan was to go to Rome and then from Rome to Spain. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Wow, that's awfully, there's a lot there. He's saying, look, I pray for you. Always, every time I pray, you're in my prayers. And if God willing, I'm trying to find a way to get to you. To get to you. I need to be with you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. He wants to be there, not to lord over them, but to have fellowship. Isn't that why we come to church? This is the importance of coming to church, to have fellowship with one another. I've talked about this before, probably with a lot more enthusiasm behind those words, but when we come to church and we're together, sometimes I'm weak and I need it. Sometimes I'm weak and I need an encouraging word. Sometimes it might be you. You know, the devil loves to throw all his crazy chaos at us, right? You know, and you go, oh, man, I'm so stressed out. I'm not going to go to church tonight. I just don't think, well, look, if the devil has convinced you that you should go to church, you need to be at church. The one place in the whole world that you need to be when your whole life seems to be crashing down before you is in church. There's the fellowship that we have together, and then the fellowship that we together have with God. We're in the house of God, amen? Why would we not want to be together in the house of God when we're struggling? This ain't no palace for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. This is where we go when we feel broken. This is, to use the words of some of our coddled college students, this is our safe space. Right? Well, this is what Paul is wanting to do. He's wanting to go to Rome and have fellowship with the Church of Rome. Verse 13, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So here what he's talking about is that, look, I'm a debtor. I owe the gospel to the Greek, to the barbarian, to all the Gentiles, to all those that I would find. You see, now, he was in Corinth, but he ended up having to actually travel to Philippi. After this letter, he was going to go directly from Corinth to Rome, but instead, due to persecution, had to go to Philippi. And then from Philippi, he went to Jerusalem, is where he ended up going. And it was sometime after that he ended up getting arrested. He was on house arrest, and then he later was sent to Rome. tradition has it that, now this would be after the completion of the book of Acts and the epistles, but that Paul had been either acquitted or banished of the charges that were against him there in Rome, and that he in fact did travel to Spain, though there is no record of it, it's just church tradition, and that he returned to Rome, and sometime on or around 67 AD, Paul again was arrested and then beheaded 1 mile outside of Rome. That's what church tradition teaches us. But we don't actually find that in, you know, the death of Paul. It's not actually in Scripture. The book of Acts, as Dallas is going to begin covering next week, covers the first 30 years of the church. Well, that would have been outside of that first 30 years. Just outside. So now, verse 16 and 17 is deep. It is. And I'm going to break this down because this is really the meat and potatoes of what we're getting to today. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is by the power of God the salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What exactly does this mean? Well, the beginning in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If one is ashamed of someone, let's say you got a family member and you're ashamed of them, you may not mention their name in public, so you don't get associated with them from people who may not know that you're related, right? Well, there are professed believers that in church will profess Christ. They'll sing, raise their hands, amens, and hallelujahs. But one of the reasons why they live like the devil 6 days out of the week when they're not at church is because they fear the world. They fear the judgment, specifically the judgment of the world. They fear losing their friends or that their family will think less of them in some way. They fear the world and they fear the opinions of others more than they fear God and more than they love Christ. So we as believers, if we truly do love God, truly do love our Savior, Jesus Christ, we will not be ashamed of Him.
That's right.
We will proclaim Him. Ooh, now I get to preaching now. We'll be proclaiming Him there at the street corner. In our aunt and uncle's living room. Any and every opportunity we get. You know, I remember just always having this just fire and zeal and people asking me, well, Chris, what, you're so happy, you got so much joy, what is it? I said, well, I'm good, and I'm always good because God is good. Even on those bad days, I'm good because God's got this. He's gonna get me through. I got no reason to be blue. I got no reason to be sad. I got no reason to be upset. Not really. Not if I truly trust in God. Trust in God, rely on Him, lay your burdens down at the foot of the cross. You've heard me say this in sermons 112 times. That's what I mean. If we truly have faith in God, We know that he's got this. He's got it. He'll get us through. And everything, all things, are to God's glory. Even when we suffer in life, there is glory to God. God is glorified in the deliverance. God is glorified through your endurance. Sometimes we go through hardships in life to show just how strong your faith is. Every one of us here can think of somebody, an older brother or sister in Christ, maybe a family member, who had a strong faith in God, who suffered through some illness, possibly for years and years, and they never lost their joy. They never lost their faith and their hope in Christ. And right there is evidence of a changed heart, conformed to the image of Christ. It is sometimes in the hardships of life that who we really are is revealed. It's easy to say, I got faith in Jesus and I love Jesus and I follow Jesus when everything's going good. But when things start falling apart, what do? There? Do you fall back into the world? Or is your faith and trust truly in Christ? So here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Now here, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. This is the Jew and the Gentile. The salvation in Christ was offered first to who? The Jew. We see this in the book of Acts, chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit had poured out there in the upper room, it is recorded there the first sermon ever preached after Christ's ascension. And that is by Peter. And he preaches the gospel with such fire. And if you know in Scripture that Peter was special. He was special in that he had a temper, but he also had a zeal and a fire in him. So here he is. I can just imagine Peter just preaching, just with such fire and zeal to the people there in Jerusalem. And they ask him, they say, well, what shall we do? What shall we do to be saved? In verse 38, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then 3,000 souls are saved that day. Now this might throw something at me. Because he's covering Acts, I'm sorry. So on that day of Pentecost, that shows that the God, Jesus came first to the Jew. The first Christians were Jews. And Paul first named Saul, and then after his conversion became Paul, was Christ's apostle to the Gentiles. And he began traveling through Asia Minor, Greece, and to Rome, sharing the gospel, winning souls for Christ. And those whom he led to Christ went on themselves to go share the gospel and lead others to Christ. By the end of the first century, there were roughly 100,000 Christians in the Roman world. I want you to think about that.
Amen.
That's less than 75 years. Up to 100,000. Wow. just amazing. To be honest, I'm a little jealous that Pastor Dallas gets to preach the book of Acts. I love history. The book of Acts is just an amazing book, but praise God I got Romans. So then this ends here with, I'm reading it again, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it is by your faith, and the evidences of that faith, that we see one to another, and that we who believe, we who are justified, that we will live our lives by faith, trusting and relying in God. Look, I get overwhelmed too, right? Yeah, we all get overwhelmed. It wasn't even all that long ago. And I just have to keep telling them, the just will live by faith. Put my trust in God, rely on Him. You know, I need encouragement. Pastor Dallas will tell you, there's many a times I've called him and I said, hey, Dallas, I need you to put your pastor hat on. Right? Because sometimes I need that encouragement. Sometimes I need somebody to go, well, I'm reminded of this story in Scripture. Or, you know this, and you're there in Romans. And so Pastor Dallas is there for me, and I'm there for Pastor Dallas. The term we'd use in the Army is he's my battle buddy. Battle buddy Dallas over here. God bless him.
Amen.
He's my battle buddy. So now we're going to be closing up here in just a minute. So before Paul goes into verse 18, which we will cover next time, Paul lays out just this beautiful, I love the way Paul writes. He has this beautiful greeting. He then expresses to them his desire to come visit them. And then he begins with his very first, in the book of Romans, his very first theological statement. The just live by faith. So let us all just live by faith.
Amen.
Trust and rely on Him. The whole world can fall apart, and it's going to. But God's going to get us through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. All right. Hold on now. Hold on. Let me pray and then give like a little count of five. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in praise and thanksgiving for your many blessings. Lord, be with each and every one of us today or tonight as we go our separate ways and bring us back together again. Lord, we praise you and we worship you and we thank you, Lord God, for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.